This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios. Speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? You better visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That is 208-467-7468.
Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Welcome to the show, Barbara. I'm so excited to kind of learn a little bit more about your journey and you know, what you've been going through.
I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. I mean, when did all of this start? I mean, what did you notice when did it all start? How old were you?
I think that you go forward to go backwards. So in 2011, I ended up with a huge rash, like a 9-inch rash on my side that was purple and oozing and hivey, and ended up in the emergency room, and I was like an episode of the TV show House from a long time ago. My husband and I were there, and we probably had, I don't know, 15, 20 doctors literally around us taking pictures and sending it. And I'm going to send it to this university and that university, trying to figure it out. It looks like Lyme's. It looks like this. They're going on and on. And my husband and I just kept looking at each other and laughing, because what could you do? They really had no clue. So there was a whole bunch of infectious disease doctors in there, and they had no clue. So they treated me for Lyme with just the usual 2-week version of whatever it is. And then they said, you know, we're going to send you to, you know, we don't really know what it is. We think it's MRSA. So I'm an elementary school teacher. So immediately my boss got told. They ended up scrubbing my entire classroom, and I was out of work for 3 weeks until they ruled out that it wasn't MRSA. They didn't really know what it was. So nothing got better. And my regular doctor who was seeing me was trying to figure out what to do. And he eventually was like, I think you need to go see the infectious disease doctor. And they were all booked up. So I ended up researching my own and trying to find an infectious disease doctor, who I actually ended up with a good one. I don't even remember how long it took. I think that I was at that point, I was just depressed because it was oozing and disgusting. They sent, I'm getting my stories mixed up, but I ended up at a skin doctor. He said, I know exactly what it is. It's this kind of rash. He gave me something. It got bigger. And then,
so like a steroid or something like that, just to kind of calm down.
Yeah. And cream, and it just got worse. But I kept trying to do Western medicine and trying all different things, and it just didn't work and didn't work and didn't work and didn't work. When I eventually went to the infectious disease doctor, he was like, it's definitely Lyme. And I'm like, it's not Lyme. They've tested it. They've tested it. It's it's not Lyme. He's like, I'm telling you it's Lyme. And he was a very interesting doctor in the fact that he has no personality. So I just kind of sat there and while he's typing and he would ask me questions. But the difference between him and every other doctor that I saw was he actually said, I want to you to go back 5 years and every single doctor that you've seen in 5 years, I want all their medical records. And he did. And he sat there and talked and I was in there for 3 hours. He didn't hardly talk to me at all. He would ask me a question and then go back and research. And he said, I will figure this out. So he put me on the 6 month regiment, which was horrible. All I know that it was very, very painful. Couldn't be out in the sun, you know, the usual stuff. Sex was very very painful. For some reason, that's where a lot of my pain ended up being. And then I started feeling better. So I knew that he was on the right track when I was like sitting in my car a couple, I guess, weeks later. And I looked at my hand and my hand was like tapping on the outside of the car when I was listening to music. And I was like,
oh, that's a happy sign.
I think that's fine.
I think that's hope. But, When I look back now that I realize that it was a long time before that, he actually found a secondary bacterial infection. And he was different in his approach than all the other doctors that I had seen. When I look back, I had been so sick for so long with different things, not realizing it was Lyme until I had that literally a rash that was 9 inches big.
So I had
Lyme a long time.
Yeah. So with his treatment, I mean, you said the usual things, just like an IV, like cocktail of antibiotics.
It was antibiotic. I wasn't an IV. Okay. It was very strong. And I said, well, I've had that before. And he did specific blood tests to find out exactly which tick it was. And in New Jersey, we have 5. I have had 4 different Lyme disease strains. I've gotten it 4 times.
Oh my gosh.
And he also found a secondary bacterial infection. Then later on, after I was saw him for a year, he put me on a diet where I only could have like 1 egg a week and 3 ounces of meat a week. No GMOs, no organic stuff. He had antioxidant drinks, very strict diet. And I did that for a year. And as soon as I stopped, everything came back. So my brain fog, everything came back. So in the meantime, you tell your Lyme story to everyone. So people kept talking about this guy that I should go to see this Dr. Lipton because he's amazing. And he's like, you know, he blesses these herbs and he gives them to you and he does all this stuff. And first I heard it at a bar where one of my daughter's friends had Lyme and she went to him and she was got much better. And then we went to a bridal shower and I'm sitting there with a whole bunch of women that I don't know in a different part of the state. And someone says, you have Lyme. There's this guy and he does these herbs things. And da, 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 da. And I'm like, what's his name? They're like, Dr. Lipton. I was like, well, that's interesting. I go tell my husband. He's like, that's weird. And then about 6 months later, I go to the dermatologist with my daughter. And I'm like talking and I said, oh, I have Lyme. And he goes, oh my God, there's this doctor that you need to see.
So somebody was trying to tell you something.
Yeah. And he goes, he's like, I've never met him, but he uses herbs and blah, 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 blah. And he looks him up on the internet and he writes it down and he hands it to me. And I come home. My husband goes, we have to go.
Right.
We cannot.
It's
not
your sign.
Go. It's a sign. So he's in a different state. He's in Pennsylvania. So it's like a 3.5 hour drive. So we call him and he says, come on down. So he puts us at the end of the day and we get down there and he's a naturopath and he does energy. He reads your energy and he's doing his thing. And I'm laying on there and I'm feeling all these tinglings up and down me. And he puts the parasite on my stomach and he has me touching the little vials and I jump and my husband goes, that's it right there. What is that? And he goes, that's a parasite. And he goes, that's what's causing my wife the pain. And he goes, yeah, that's it. He goes, your Lyme's gone. The doctor got rid of the Lyme's, but you have a parasite. So I get a parasite kit from, I think it's from California somewhere, and it was a whole bunch of herbs and stuff. And I did it for the two weeks. And each day I felt better. Of course, I had so many other things going on. I have a gluten allergy. So he gave me something to take the gluten out of my body. I'm like, I haven't had gluten in 10 years. He's like, it's in your body. You have a ton of metals in your body. But it wasn't all at once. It definitely was like layers. So I was so sick and had such bad brain fog and all the things, all the classic signs. And it just kind of came back a little bit at a time. And every time I would be like, I feel so much better. And then 2 weeks later, I feel so much better. But I remember sitting like 2 weeks after I saw him, the original time we were sitting in a wine garden nearby, like at a fairgrounds. And I was drinking a glass of wine and I felt like it was like the Claritin commercial, that like this fog kind of lifted and everything was clear. Everything was brighter. I wasn't forgetting things. So I used to, people would make fun of me all the time because I would just forget words. And I kind of put it into the fact that it was like a filing cabinet and I'd be searching for the word and I just couldn't find the word. And I knew the word, but I just couldn't search. And it was so bad. Just sit in chairs, wouldn't do anything. A lot of the things that I've heard on your podcast, I actually did. I just sat, had no energy. I didn't go to grad school, even though people was pushing me to, because I just couldn't work more than like 30 hours or 35 hours without some kind of disease hitting me. It was always something. It didn't matter what it was.
And here was the glass of wine that cured you?
I think it was the glass of wine, definitely. I didn't even have alcohol from like age 25 to age 40 because I was trying to figure out, like when I look back, I can see how far back it went. But at the time, I didn't know what it was. Like I stopped at 21. I stopped drinking alcohol because I was dizzy and I had such anxiety. I was always tired, like, and trying to figure it out. And then my husband and I were dating, and then I dropped off the cheese because cheese was bothering me. I was trying to figure it out. So I just kept eliminating things, thinking that that's what the problem was. And people would make fun of me. I was always dropping things. I was very clumsy. All of that has disappeared. I had I do have a lot of vertigo issues, but it was so bad that, you know, I'd have to hold on to things as I was going downstairs, and all of that's gone. That's so awesome. It's kind of weird, but it's definitely, as I've been seeing, I call him Dr. Voodoo, not to his face, but
I've been called that many times as well. So yeah.
He doesn't like that, I don't think, but he definitely has been fixing my organs as I've been seeing him. So I've been seeing him for about 8 years now. And every time people just will say things like, you look so healthy, which is such a strange thing to hear someone say to you, but they do all the time.
That's so cool. So when do you think that you actually get bitten or infected by Lyme? I mean, because you were saying you get this big rash, you know, 2011, but then looking back, you realize that you've been probably dealing with Lyme for a long time.
I'm 55, and I know that when I was in college when I was 20, I was having issues with vertigo. I was having issues with being tired, getting sick all the time. And I would get everything, UTIs constantly, constantly fungal infections. And from what I've learned about Lyme, you know, fungal infections often go along with that, which I didn't know that. So, and that's still a reoccurring thing. Like, but now I know that if I start getting a UTI and I have any bit of pain at all, I'll go and get an antibiotic. They're like, you have hardly anything. Now I know it's more like a fungal infection that's really a problem. I would get comments like when I was 40, I would get comments that, oh, you're fair and 40. That's why you're so sick. It's because you're fair and 40. And I constantly would get pushed off. You know, they operated on a hernia, but they were trying to find stomach pain. I'd have to get diarrhea constantly. So I would map out where I was going to go to the bath. When I went to the stores, I knew where every bathroom was so that I could stop at stores and go to the bathroom. And they would treat, you know, they would constantly go to different doctors and they'd be like, you're fine. Every test would come back normal. Every single test. It never didn't come back normal. So I felt like I was crazy and I had no hope at all. So like now a lot of people get angry, like, you know, you're not cured from Lyme's. I was in such a bad spot and I'm not now. And there's only one explanation that you know, I have gotten rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's incredible.
It's amazing. Yeah. I still think I'm still recovering, but I don't know until it's gone.
Like you're saying that you thought you felt great. And then 2 weeks later when he did another treatment and, oh, this is what's great is. Yeah. So you recognize each level of feeling better.
Yeah. I had Hashimoto's. It's not showing up in my blood work at all anymore. So I no longer am taking any medicine for it, which is incredible. And I've been pre-diabetic for 25 years, and I just reached the level where, you know, I have diabetes, and Dr. Voodoo is like, you don't have diabetes. It's just your sugar level's high, you know, but my regular doctor, my Western doctor is like, whatever you're doing is working. Like you're doing the right thing, whatever it is. I can't explain it. He laughs every time I say Dr. Voodoo, but he's like, just keep doing it. I don't understand how it's working, but it's working. But it's just layers of getting better and better. But I keep getting bit. Like we're in New Jersey, and New Jersey's so bad with ticks. But I have had 4 out of 5 have gotten bit by. So he's like, you're good. You're not going to get any more problems. But it's scary. But then they just identify another between the two doctors. The infectious disease doctor, I think, saved my life.
Yeah.
And Dr. Lipton has brought me to health.
So I'm curious. So how did he? What kind of test did the infectious disease doctor run? Because a lot of docs, they really don't even know what to do, and then the patient doesn't know how to guide their doctor. So do you know what tests he ran?
Well, he is an LLMD. He mostly did blood tests, and it was a long time ago. So it was 2011. So I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But he did a lot of blood tests, and he really knew what he was doing. And I think the difference between the naturopath and him was he did one test every 3 weeks. So I would come back 3 weeks, and he would do a test to find on a different parasite. So he was going through parasite by parasite by parasite, tick by tick by tick. And he's like, I will tell you exactly which tick you got bit by, but it's going to take me time, and you need to give me time. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
but he really did know what he was doing.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, because a lot of people they're not as meticulous. They just kind of throw them on a kind of a lime blend, so to say. Yeah,
I think the difference with him too is a lot of doctors will tell you, and I don't mean to insult you being a doctor, but a lot of them will say, "I know what it is," and I would go in and go, "But when it doesn't work, what are you going to do?"
Right.
Because nothing worked, and they just kind of put a Band-Aid on you, you know, and that was very frustrating. He didn't do that. He said, he looked me in the eye, held me, and he said, I will figure this out, and I'm not going to give up on you. And it was like the first time that somebody actually said that to me. And I didn't believe him, but I believed him. He was like, we will be here for 3 hours. When people were waiting in the waiting room, and he just was like, I believe in you. So you're going to get through this. And he looked at it in a multifaceted. He's like that you need to, your body is so destroyed from Lyme's that you need to, I no longer take medicine. I'm going to tear up. I don't take medicine anymore. So now I'm up to that. I can take in like an Advil, but he's like all these drugs that we've put you on or trying to destroyed your body. So we need to build you up with antioxidant foods. And, you know, you need to do everything you possibly can do to protect your liver and your kidneys. And he really has done that. And then Dr. Lipton gave me the nutrition to try to, in form of herbs, to try to build them up and get rid of all the toxins in my body, which I did have a lot of, and still do. I seem to like be a magnet for anything that comes through, like, you know, just, well, it seems like that.
Exactly.
It's bad.
Well, I mean, the thing is that when your immune system has been so compromised and your energy level has been so low, you need a certain amount of energy to be able to drive the heavy metals out of the system and to detoxify. So what you are exposed to, you know, it's going to impact you so much more than someone that has a stronger system than yourself. So even though, right, you may have been exposed to the same amount of heavy metals, it's going to accumulate in you and deposit in you more than another individual. So that's one of the issues when you're dealing with these chronic infections, is that, you know, the system is so overburdened, it doesn't have the energy to deal with the toxins that are coming in. So it's just frantically trying to store it in locations in the best possible area. So over time, you're going to start to accumulate these heavy metals.
Right, right. And then I think my heat, I mean, I have such a high intolerance to gluten and things like that. And they've all said I could eat gluten. I don't have an allergy in it, but I definitely do. But it was very interesting how, you know, I stopped one time on the way to him and had Starbucks, and obviously they put something in it that was gluten. It shouldn't have. And I had a horrible reaction, and I get there and I lay down on the table and he does his little magic thing. And he says, "What did you eat on the way here? Your gluten is out of control." My husband just looks at him and he goes, "How does he do that? Like, how does he do that?" But my body is so reactive to everything. But I trust everything that he says. Whereas when I go to the Western doctor now, I listen and I believe them, but I don't necessarily think that they've got it. They're just reacting to the symptoms, not really what the problem is.
And that's what I tell my patients a lot of times, is that the proof is in the pudding. You know, either it works or it doesn't work. So,
right.
You know, you can have somebody that is the best doctor and have the best degrees and best education and done all this research, but if he doesn't change your life, you know, whatever he's doing is not the right thing. So, right. And then you can have somebody that maybe, you know, like naturopathic doctor that it does not have all these, you know, studies behind him, but he does something and you feel better.
Yeah, unfortunately, in New Jersey anyway, it's not covered by insurance, any of the naturopaths and all of that stuff, acupuncture. So it's very expensive and it annoys me because it's such a problem. And I know it's a problem everywhere, but in New Jersey, it's a very big problem. So when you go into the hospital, they automatically give you a Lyme's test if you have any issue, because it's that prevalent.
Wow.
And people don't even try to go to anyone that's outside of the regular, you know, I took a blood test, I'm fine, and they're not fine. Several of my family members have had Lyme, and they get sick of me telling them, you know, you need to try something else, or to, you know, it's a very difficult thing, and people get angry. I told Tanya the one time, I was like, I'm not sure if I want to do the show because I've been attacked before, because I tell them that I feel better and they don't believe me. Yeah. And I'm trying to give them hope, and they've given up hope. And I was there. It's a very dark place to be.
It is. Just so right? You know, Dr. Carl Felt, he's one of those voodoo doctors.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's you know, I try to, well, I'm a teacher, and I've probably had 12 teachers that I've sent for different reasons to him since then. And they all sing his praises, you know. It's
when,
amazing.
When you have, you know, when you have an illness like Lyme, and you go, you know, for my personal experience, I went 7 years undiagnosed, and it took me becoming bedridden, and I didn't even know my own name before anybody believed that something was wrong with me, you know. And it puts you in a very dark spot, because you go to these doctors as your life is unraveling before your eyes, and they're telling you that nothing's wrong with you, you're fine. Go see a
psychiatrist. They tell you that it's in your head.
Go, it's in your
head. They tell you it's in your head.
Yeah, and it's very sad. And so that's why I'm glad you decided to share your story with us, because it needs to be heard. And I think there's a place in time for Western medicine, but I'm not their biggest fan, I can tell you that, because they disappointed me. They took my life from me for years. And so I believe in the everything but Western medicine, whatever you want to call it, Chinese herb, voodoo doctor. So yeah, I mean, I was very grateful that I found, Dr. Carl Felt, because he kind of pushed me over that edge, and now I'm good.
I think that what I try to tell people is, don't, like, a lot of people will go to a doctor and then they wait to see what they say, and then they'll go to someone else. And it's like too many weeks later or a month later or whatever it is. And they're waiting for the answer. And I was like, yeah, you need to go with your gut. And I'll never forget when we saw Dr. Lipton the first time. So we leave there and we go to a pizzeria, which I can't have pasta, I can't have bread and I can't have cheese. But at the time I was still doing that. And we just look at each other. We just start laughing. And so he goes, what do you think? I go, either he was the best con man on the planet or he knows the stuff. Like, I mean, there was no in between. Like it was just one of those, but literally, you know, he's always right. Regardless, whenever I go there, one time we went there and I was like, my legs really hurting and my toes hurt. Blah, 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 and he touches my toe and he does this thing and he says, your sugar level's high. I'm like, okay. He gives me, we get in the car and I was like, Davey says my sugar level's high. And he goes, it's probably right. And then I go to I always keep my foot in both Western and Eastern medicine. So I go to my regular doctor. He does my blood work and he says, your sugar level's high. And then he come back in 3 weeks and my sugar level was normal. So, and it keeps happening and over. And he goes, whatever you're doing, it's working. I said, okay. I went, you know, so, I feel, you know, there's still a lot that I need to do to correct my health. I think that it was so destroyed that it's going to take another 15 years to recover. But I am now riding 20-mile bike rides and hiking for 8 miles and going up. We went to hike waterfalls the other day, last weekend, and we hiked 5 miles up to the bottom of the waterfall. And they wanted to go to the top of the waterfall. And I said, they're like goats. And I said, I'm good. I'm really good. And they're like, come on. I'm good. You guys go up and I'm just going to stay here. I'll do it on my own time. So I like, you know, talked to myself, look where I was 15 years ago. And I walked up the steps and I made it to the top.
That's awesome.
And for me, it's such, every day is like a journey. Like I'm just continually recovering. And I don't know where my top is going to be. I just know where my bottom was.
Yes.
And one thing that I think is important also for people to understand is that, you know, once you've been diagnosed with Lyme and then you are being treated for it and you still feel horrible, it may not be like you're saying, the Lyme was corrected. It was gone. It was now the parasite. So it may not be that it's still the Lyme. It can be something else that is still causing you to feel the same, even though the Lyme is gone.
Right.
So
definitely, I don't think anybody realizes that there's so many layers to it, and it destroys so many of your organs. That I mean, I'm still dealing with the fungal infections, even though I've been told it's gone, but I seem to get the same types of infections over and over again, to the point where my regular my Western doctor will say, I don't understand why you keep getting them, you know, and then I'll go to see Dr. Voodoo and he'll be like, why did you wait so long? Well, you live 3.5 hours from me. So it's not easy for me to get here, you know, but, you know, if I every time I encourage someone to not give up, I feel like I'm doing something, because I think Lyme's is just such a destructive thing for your psyche. It's just ruins your, it makes you depressed. You doubt yourself constantly. And have brain fog. I'm seeing a lot of people with coronavirus that have brain fog that bad. And it reminds me so much of Lyme's that I wonder if there's a connection there.
Yeah.
Because it's they're seeing the same thing. It's almost like it's a repeat in a different form.
With Lyme or any kind of chronic infections like that, it puts the body in a what's called a hypercoagulative state, where, you know, the blood is not, it gets thick and it doesn't really move as quickly. So which means that tissue and brain and everything, they're suffering from nutrients and suffering from oxygen. And so you have these pathogens, and the way they do that is that they trigger inflammation along the blood vessels, you know, and that inflammation along the blood vessels slows down that circulation and makes it hard for white blood cells to get to these infectious agents to kill them. So that, you know, so there can be a number of different infectious agents, like, you know, COVID or Lyme or, you know, that has similar type of effect on the body.
I did notice that a lot of people didn't believe at the amount of metals I kept. I had a lot of metal in my body after, and they're like, "How did you get that there?" And I'm like, "It's the limes." But people don't want to believe. They think that you're just touting, you know, tooting things that are not real. I don't know. It's so destructive.
It is, and it's very hard to. I think that you truly don't know what we live through unless you have Lyme. It's easy to try to explain to somebody, but you're right. Like, I mean, I was severely, I had severe mercury poisoning along with some other metal toxicities, and that alone right there was causing me some extreme brain fog. I didn't know I was dealing with Lyme, but, yeah, it's hard to explain to somebody, the road that we go down in our journey, because it's a very lonely one. It's very sad. It's very confusing. It's very expensive. I mean, there's just so many levels of Lyme disease that it's so, so important for us to spread awareness like we're doing and talking about it. To give hope to, I hope one day that Western medicine can treat Lyme disease. You know, I don't think they're ever going to go away, but they just need to be aware. They need to accept the fact that there is such thing as chronic Lyme disease. That would be a good start.
I think more of the problem is that they're treating all of the symptoms that I had. They treated the symptoms that I had separately instead of looking at,
the big picture.
The infectious disease doctor, he looked at the whole picture, and he was the first person that did that. But everyone else looked at all of my symptoms very separately and treated them separately. So there was 1 year where I had hives for an entire year.
Wow.
So they gave me a steroid, and they gave me antihistamine, and I took them on 4-hour periods. They were 8 hours medicine, but 4 hours, and overlapped them for a year. And if I didn't take it, I would head to toe hives. And I thought it was because I ate bread at a meal on my 40th birthday. Now looking back, it probably was Lyme's, but we didn't realize that I had Lyme's until I was 45. But they were treating the hives. They couldn't find a reason. I did the whole test with the little pins and everything in me, and I'm totally normal. I'm not allergic to anything. I'm not even allergic to gluten. I don't know why you're going without gluten. I was the one that figured out that I couldn't do the gluten because I did a food allergy test on myself. I was like a baby, took all food away, and then gave it back a little bit at a time every day. First day I had chocolate because you can't go without that. And the second day I had bread, and within 5 minutes I was in the bathroom having diarrhea. And I was like, well, that answers that. And like 3 months later, I went to a gastroenterologist, and she was like, you can't do it that way. You have to go back on wheat, and I want you on it for 3 months, and then we will give you a blood test, and we'll do a biopsy, and then I'll tell you if you're a celiac. I looked at her. I was like, are you crazy? I can't live. I can't. Well, that's what, then you can't say you're a celiac. And I was like, I'm not going to go back and do that. Like, sometimes I think doctors get stuck on the paper, what's happening, aren't listening to how it's all connected. I figured it out for myself. And then now they're looking at it a lot differently, but I was like I had it way before gluten-free was cool, you know? Yeah. So, I just had to figure it out on my own.
And I think that is so kind of ludicrous. Here you have an individual that is, when you're eating gluten, you have these reactions. So why do we need to prove whether you have celiac or not? You know, does that really matter? All we know is that when you don't eat gluten, you feel better. You know, whether you have this label or not that label, we know that you have a reaction to it. You know, so does it matter?
Right. And I think it was interesting that I went to see the naturopath at least 5 years later. So I definitely hadn't had any gluten in 5 years. And he said, that gluten's still in your body. And I was like, what are you talking about? I haven't had a piece of pizza in 5 years, whatever it was. And he's like, no, it's still in your body. Like, so I don't think we really understand that the damage is there. Your body's not, I think the Lyme's probably whacked me out to the point where nothing left. So I'm ridding myself. And I think that's why I'm feeling better, because all of my organs are not struggling so much. So he put me on something called Glutex. I forget. I wrote it down somewhere. Gluten. I took it forever. Now I don't take it anymore. And within 2 weeks, I felt like it was a Claritin commercial. So, you know, but I hadn't had it in years. That was the weird thing. So I've been a very clean eater for 20 years, but you would never know it from the way my health was. And I'm really in a different place in my life. I'm a teacher at the top. You know, I've been there for 20 years in my current thing. I'm at the top of the guide, but I'm not, because I gave up going to grad school because a long time ago, I just couldn't work and do something more. I couldn't be a mom and work. I could only manage to get up, get dressed, and kind of get through my day. So here I am later, and my daughters are going to grad school and stuff like that. I'm so thrilled for them, but they're like, you could do that. That fear stays with me. It's never going to leave me, that it could come back. Like, I don't want to overtax myself. It's a learned behavior. I'm a different person because of my Lyme's journey. Not a bad thing, but I'm fine with where I'm at in my life right now. I'm very happy and celebrate my health every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You appreciate what you've gained, and you don't feel a loss of what you're not able to do, you know, because you've gained so much already.
Yeah. And I think similar to Tammy and you, I feel like I need to help as many people as I can when they're, it doesn't have to be that they have Lyme, but if I see somebody who is hurting health-wise, I feel like I need to encourage them to not give up. So many people give up and they just don't go to doctors anymore. Like, they told me it wasn't this, so they just give up. And I think that it's something else completely.
Right. You have to kind of find that reason to fight. Is what I decided I had to do. I had to find a why to fight, to continue my journey. And I'm glad that I did. And I'm glad that you did too. And you're right. It definitely, our life will never be the same as it was before Lyme. Like you said, good or bad, it's just not the same. It will always be different. I don't worry about getting sick again, but I do worry about allowing myself to overwork my body, overdo my body, because I think stress is such a huge part of staying well, is keeping my stress under control. And if I'm tired, then say no and take a nap. And that was hard for me to accept. But when I look back on all my journeys, I'm like, I could probably say no. You know, look what I went through. I don't ever want to go back down that road. So if I have to learn to say no to stay healthy, then I'll do it. I'm super glad you shared your journey with us today.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara. This was tremendous. I mean, it's such valuable information that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well.
Thank you.
Let's end with, if there's one. I mean, you've said a lot. Yeah, that was extremely important. If there's one thing that you would like to say to the people that, you know, when they're newly diagnosed or suspecting that they're diagnosed, what would be that one thing that you would give them as an advice?
That's a hard thing to say. When you're in that dark, dark place, you have to know that there are people rooting for you, even if you feel like you're by yourself, that... just know that you have to be your biggest cheerleader, and that you have to be the person that just doesn't give up, that you have to fight. Like, you have to go into the doctor and not be the person that says, no, it's not in my head. No, yeah, you have to continually look, research on your own. Like, if I hadn't researched, if I hadn't listened, if I hadn't taken a chance when I listened and I heard different people's names and went to see both of those doctors I researched on my own, I wouldn't be who I am right now. I know I would still be sick and missing my family's life. I would just be watching it on the sidelines instead of being a participant. So I'm very happy to be a participant in my family's life. Yeah. So, you know, they have the right to be a participant.
That they have exactly. You have a right to be a participant, and they have the right to have their mother.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, unfortunately for you, Tammy, I don't think in your story, I think Lyme is not that common. And I'm lucky in this, in a way that I live in a Lyme infested area, because when people do get sick, that is one of the things that they check.
Yeah.
And they recheck. So I think that I have that advantage, which seems like a strange advantage.
And it didn't help you.
Well, I think now it would be a
You're
different
right.
story.
You're right. It's come a long ways. It's come a long ways from even when, you know, I was sick. Doctors actually recognize it now. It's talked a lot more. Talked about. So, yeah. No, that's good advice. Don't stay in that dark hole. And, you know, I was surrounded by my friends and my family, and I still felt so alone. So
you are alone. You're very alone. You have to root for yourself, yeah. And you have to be willing to not just go to, like, it's very hard to go to someone outside of the Western medicine and try things. And one thing that I've learned is everyone thinks that they have the one way to be cured by Lyme. Mm-hmm. And there's so many ways to be cured by Lyme.
I agree.
And so therefore you can't say to someone, no, you're doing it wrong. It's just whatever works for you. I don't know. I really do feel that way. It's like whatever your journey is, it's your personal journey. So it's affecting everyone different ways.
Right. It does. And just like, you know, one thing can help one person get better, but it could not help another. So
absolutely.
Everybody's individualized and everybody is on their own journey. But the journey that we know for sure is that for all those that are listening, they're not alone.
No.
They're not crazy. And be your own advocate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and trust your gut feeling, like you're saying. I mean, yeah, listen to your gut and do the research.
Do the research and even though you might be afraid and go, what did I just experience? It's okay. It's okay. Go for it and just see how it goes. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much, Barbara. I really appreciate you coming and chatting with us today.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. It was fun.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hello, it's Dr. Karlfeldt. And this is my little tidbit at the end of this episode. So when we're dealing with pathogens, obviously we want to maximize our immune system and we want to minimize inflammatory reactions, because usually it is the inflammation that makes us feel horrible, you know, inflammation from these different pathogens. And we want a strong immune system to be able to protect us from these different pathogens. So an area that is really important to focus on is our gut, you know, how to heal the gut and what should we do to protect our gut, you know, from parasites, from, you know, bad foods and so forth. So, and we don't recognize that the gut is almost more like a brain than our brain ourselves. So it produces about 30 plus different neurotransmitters. In fact, it produces more serotonin. And serotonin is a neurotransmitter that it's known as the happy hormone or happy neurotransmitter. So if our gut is not functioning well, it is important. It's almost impossible to be happy, and you know we are more prone to be depressed and having a hard time to get through life. So it is our brain. It is a big part of our neurological function is through our gut. And also about 70 to 80% of our immune system is along the gut. So if we take care of our gut well, we are then obviously activating, supporting our immune system so much better so that we can fight things off like, you know, Lyme and parasites and fungus and whatever else, you know, fun things that we're dealing with in conjunction with just the Borrelia, which is the Lyme spirochete. So what do we need to do in order to be able to heal the gut? Well, there's some great programs out there. One that I like a lot is called GAPS. It stands for Gut and Psychological Syndrome Diet, or another GAPS is Gut and Physiological Syndrome. So it works both on the psyche and also on the physical, you know, on your physical body as you support the body through the gut. And it's a very specific program that goes through different phases, and you can read up on it and have practitioners that can guide you through it. I highly suggest having somebody help you through it. In our office, we have an amazing nutritionist that guide my patients through that program. And it's just incredible how that helped them when they're dealing with chronic diseases. So, but part of that process is to make sure that you eliminate foods that can be inflammatory, like gluten, dairy, corn, egg whites can for some people. So you can then do these different food panels to pinpoint and see if there are foods that are aggravating your intestinal tract and also the rest of the body. And the different panels you can do like an antibody. You can check and see if you have an antibody reaction to it, which would be more kind of an immune system reaction. But in addition to that, there is something that's called a median response testing, which is checking more of a kind of an inflammatory reaction to the different foods. And both of them are very useful as you then try to pinpoint which foods that are triggering inflammation in your system. And when you're dealing with inflammation, a lot of the inflammatory signaling actually starts in the gut. You know, it doesn't really start as much in the brain. So it's the gut that tends to control a lot of the inflammation that takes place throughout the body. So if you pinpoint what kind of foods that are causing inflammation and you eliminate them, which will then reduce a huge amount of stress on your immune system, you're then able to more efficiently kind of ease up a portion of your immune system to be able to deal with a pathogen. And also you won't be in that inflammatory state as much. So that becomes a key aspect. And things to heal the gut with, I mean, obviously you have good quality probiotics. I like a product called Ion Biome, Zach Bush product. It's fantastic to, and it does, Ion Biome stands for the ions along the gut lining to help to restore the electrical communication through the gut lining. And it's fantastic for that. You want to make sure you stay away from GMO food, genetically modified organisms. You know, they are known to trigger inflammation along the gut lining. And I think a lot of our issues with leaky gut nowadays, I see more and more of that nowadays, is because it is almost impossible to stay away from a GMO type of food. But I would definitely make sure you look for a non-GMO sticker on your food, and even better, make sure that it is organic food so that you don't ingest a lot of chemicals or things that are then triggering your the inflammation along the gut, because here you're spending all this money trying to heal yourself and then at the same time ingesting things that are detrimental to you. So definitely make sure what kind of quality of food you're eating. Also for the gut, you want to make sure you do good quality oils. You know, you have like MCT oils, phosphatidylcholine, coconut oils, avocado oils, all these different oils are really important to heal the gut and also to reduce the inflammation along the gut lining. You know, make sure that you have digestive support. If you need digestive enzymes, if you're dealing with heartburn, acid reflux, you know, it does not tend to be a protonix or a omeprazole deficiency. It tend to be more that your body's actually not able to produce enough of the stomach acid. So you can support that with some apple cider vinegar or some betaine hydrochloride to support the production of the stomach acid so that you can digest your food appropriately. And that tends to fix then the the acid reflux and heartburn. So it becomes really important you're able to digest your food appropriately. So if you're dealing with heartburn or acid reflux, and you just take one of these acid blockers, what you're doing is that you're actually eliminating your first level of defense, which is your stomach acid. Stomach acids are there to kill off, in addition to digesting, breaking down protein. It's also to kill off parasites and fungus. And so if you are eliminating, if you're reducing the acids, you're eliminating that defense, in addition to obviously reducing your ability to digest food. So when the food that is improperly digested in the stomach enters into the smaller intestines, it tends, if it's protein, it will start to putrefy. If it's fats, it starts to go rancid. If it's carbohydrates, it ferments. You know, so now you're dealing with all the noxious toxins that comes from that process in your intestinal tract, just because your first step of digestion didn't take place properly. So focus on your digestive system, make sure that it's healthy, and take the appropriate step to heal it if you are battling with a kind of digestive symptom. So that's my little tidbit for today. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.